Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, at 96.3 HD2. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Yes, we had record temperatures in the DMV today, a welcome respite from the frigid weather earlier in the week. And yes, winter is still here. We're expecting more cold weather long before spring. Is your home ready to dip back into the cold winter weather? How can you winterize your home to make it comfortable and save money on heating bills? We have an expert on the line to answer your winter weatherization questions. Charlie Hawkins is a home improvement expert, and we're taking as many calls as we can. Lines are open right now, so give us a call at 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Hey, Charlie, happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Mr. Fisher. Thank you for having me on again.
Oh, absolutely. It is great to have you on. Man, do I have a lot of questions for you about my house, but we'll get to that in just a bit. So, we had a really, really warm day today. Things are going to slowly return to normal over the weekend. What should we do to take advantage of, say, tomorrow? Because Sunday's football championship day. No, nobody's working around the house on Sunday. So what should you pick up tomorrow, or how do you know that your house is or is not ready for a weatherization for the winter?
Okay, pretty simple. It's clean cut. Usually, preparing for winter usually happens once the first frost hits. So during fall, a lot of people will winterize their homes then to get prepared for the winter. If you have not done that, clearly today was the best day to get out and go ahead and do it. In order for you to figure out if your house needs to be weatherized is very simple. If you have certain rooms in your house that are colder, even though that your heat is pumping out a specific temperature, then you might want to look at any open gaps, which usually comes from your windows. We have weatherproofing things for windows all around in every hardware store that you can find to close up those gaps. If you're seeing low flow in your pipes as far as your kitchen sink, your bathroom sink, your tub, and it wasn't like that 2 weeks ago when it was a little bit warmer, and once it gets colder, you're noticing a lack of flow of water, then you probably want to start winterizing your pipes. It's definitely a bunch of variables that plays into a fact of just winterizing in general. Like, I feel like everyone should definitely go over some type of a checklist just to make sure, but if you're experiencing those problems specifically, then it's definitely steps you can take, especially when you have a great advantage day of 80-degree day today.
Yeah. So you just said something about winterizing your pipes. Which pipes, and how do you do it?
Okay. So very simple. Most of your interior pipes that actually produce your water throughout your house is mostly interior. And usually, depending on how old your house is, it's going to be fairly insulated. If not singularly, it's going to be insulated from the walls that surrounding it. What you really want to do is keep the frost out of your house. So if you have multiple outdoor spigots, that's going to be your first go-to.
Okay, so how do you winterize those pipes? What's the process?
Just a couple different strategies. The first thing you want to do is you want to bleed those lines. Most houses, apartments, or condos will have shutoff valves to every major water source. Now, if you're living in a home, a row house, especially in the city, you should have a shutoff valve that will lead to the outdoor spigot from your main water valve. The main thing is to also know where your main water valve is. So if anything was to happen, you can turn that off immediately to minimize damage. But speaking of the outdoor spigot, if you can shut those off during the winter months, because usually it's no guarding to water, it's no plants to water, it's nothing you're really going to use to wash your car like in the middle of the 30-degree day, you would want to turn that shutoff valve, which completely shuts off all water access going out to that pipe. After that is complete, you will want to turn on all of your spigots to bleed that pipe. Same way how you would bleed a radiator if you're trying to put more oil into it. And that will keep water out of the pipe, and it will definitely help with catching that to freeze. Mm. After you do that, you also can cover your spigot just to minimize any type of frost getting into the spigot, just in case you have extra water laying in the pipe. Now, we all know that unless that water is running to your outdoor spigot, you don't have any pressure. So bleeding it will take a long time. It might just be a drip, 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 but I would rather have a drip, drip, drip on my spigot and then covering it to minimize that water that's sitting in the pipe. You're not going to get every single bit of it. There's no possible way, but you can minimize your chances of pipes freezing, which leads to cracking, which leads to burst.
So let me make sure I understand you, because, for example, and I've said this before, I've got an older home. My house is 85 years old. So turn off the water on the inside to the outside pipes. In other words, there's a nozzle or a handle that cuts the water supply to the outside pipes, and then after that water is cut off, then go outside and turn on the spigot until it runs to nothing.
Absolutely.
Okay. There you go. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about home weatherization during the winter months. Yes, I know it was 80 degrees in the DMV today. Don't let the smooth taste fool you. It's going to get cold again. Trust me, it's going to get cold again tomorrow. Not freezing, and still will be mild tomorrow, as we reported in our weather report. But keep in mind that we are going to get some very, very cold weather before spring gets to us. If you have a comment about home weatherization, lines are open. We are going to take as many calls as we can all the way up until about 8 o'clock at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Pansy calling from Brandywine. Pansy, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I want to know, how do I keep my auxiliary from keep coming on? We did have some cold weather, but it didn't go below like 17 or anything like that. And my auxiliary wants to come on during the heat. I have a heat pump.
Okay. So your auxiliary, I'm assuming, is pretty much like your backup when your furnace is not kicking out as it should, and your house is actually trying to stay stagnant at temperature, you have an auxiliary just to give it a little extra push.
Yes.
So it's somewhere, I would go around the house, it's somewhere in your house that's changing that temperature. So your thermostat is not reading that stagnant temperature that it's supposed to be at or which you set it at. So you would go around and just, you know, it's something that you may not even feel. It can be from your window, it can be as small as from an outlet. It depends on who built the house and how they insulated it. Some people definitely have a draft coming through it. And then if you have a stagnant heat of high, I would say 70s, right, almost the 80s, because it's very cold outside and you want to keep a decent temperature in your house, you can easily go around and feel anything that leads you to the outside, if that makes sense. So my window leads to the outside. I will feel around my window to see if I feel a draft, because you can definitely tell the difference in temperature between your inside from the outside, especially in freezing temperatures. Then I will go to all of my outlets. I will go to my door. So we're opening up the thinking of maybe a door sweep or some weather stripping to go inside your door frame. It's something that's leading to the outside that almost has a direct lead to the outside. You won't see it because everything in our house looks very closed up. But for the most part, 9 times out of 10, it's definitely going to be something that's just changing that temperature. It's something, like I said, something small. It might be an outlet in a room that you are rarely in, and you notice that the temperature is different from this room than out there. So if you do figure that out, any temperature change at any point or any room in your house, that's where you want to start to do your inspection. So definitely the windows is going to be your first, right? Because they're never really sealed 100%. Right, and it's reasons for that builders do that. They try their best, but it's definitely reasons for that. The second would be your outlets. Your outlets have a huge hole behind your outlet cover, so you want to see where that is, right? Other than that, it definitely will be small cracks along the baseboard. It can be anything that just can change the temperature. And your thermostat is a machine. It's going, if you set it to 77, the house stays stagnant at 77, it's going to cut off when it reads that it's 77. But if you have that one room and that you leave that door open and it drops to 76, it's going to kick on, which is going to make your auxiliary kick on, because your furnace is going to say, hey, like, I set this to a temperature. I got it to this temperature. Something in the house is changing the temperature or dropping the temperature. And that can be people running in and out of the house, a window being cracked or open. It's just more of an investigation. Now, if you going through your house and everything feels exactly the same, then I definitely would suggest a professional to come out just to say, hey, my auxiliary is keep kicking on, but my thermostat is saying a different thing. And it could be a technical problem, but we tend to deal with those in colder weathers or any type of extreme weather, right? Like, it can knock off any type of machine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Pansy, thanks for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are sharing some winter weatherization tips for your home for the cold weather. Lines are open. We'll be taking calls all the way up until 8 o'clock. Patricia, calling from Gaithersburg. Patricia, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. My question might be a little bit different. It has to do with my pipes, my kitchen pipes. And what's backing up, it looks like it smells funny in the sink.
Oh, the kitchen drain?
It has to do with, like, because the snow and the saturation, you know. Could that have been anything to back up into my kitchen thing?
I have a couple of questions. First of all, Patricia, how old is your home?
28 years, about.
About 28 years. And what does...
29, I think. Yes, sir.
And you say it smells funny. Does it smell rotten?
Just a couple of days ago, yeah. And I used the, you know, the drain disposal.
Yeah.
And it goes down, and when it comes back up, it smells bad.
I see. Okay, yeah, you hear that, Charlie?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Ms. Patricia, you do have this is your kitchen drain, and I'm assuming you do have a garbage disposal.
What was that, sir?
Do you have a garbage disposal, Patricia?
Yes, sir. Yes, okay. I do. I have a garbage disposal.
That actually sounds a lot more like a clogged pipe. So you have something that's in your pipe that's not allowing between your garbage disposal and your J or P trap that's under your sink, allowing it to go to the main line. Now, it is very much possible that with extreme weather, but we're talking about Alaska weather, to freeze up your entire pipes. And since your home is only 28 years old, I doubt that the frost will get into your house. If you have your house set to over 55 degrees and it's nice and flowing in your house, like those inside pipes, that frost won't get there inside the house, I would say, that often. So it definitely sounds like you either have a garbage disposal stop up. And one more question, Patricia. Is your garbage disposal, like, functioning? Like, it's fine, no noises, anything like that?
It's functioning, but it smells like rust. I've dealt with this before. I called the plumber, came, spent hours here, money, and all that. Fixed it. And this is the second time it's happening. I don't know.
Yeah, so, Ms. Patricia... fortunately, you don't have to worry about the weather. It's not a weather problem. That's something with your garbage disposal. Either your garbage disposal is not draining properly, or the drainage under the sink is not draining properly. I tell this to everybody I run to with a problem that's clogging up. The stack pipe that's in your house is 4 inches. So you can imagine a 4-inch circular cylindrical pipe. Is very, very large. Now, every time we look under our sinks, and whether it's in the kitchen or in the bathroom, it's very, very small pipe. You're talking about an inch and a quarter or inch and a half. Those are where the clogs happen, even with your toilet. Your toilet has a connection that ends up in a 4-inch pipe. So if you ever have a clog in your toilet, it's in your toilet. It's not in that sack pipe. It's nothing that big that's going to clog up that pipe. Since you're having that smell and you're having a little bit of regurgitation when you use your garbage disposal, it's either a short in your garbage disposal that's not draining properly, but it sounds like someone needs to go under your sink, open up your drainage, and maybe run a snake until it gets to the main line. And it just sounds like a clog. It has nothing to do, unfortunately, or fortunately, it has nothing to do with the weather. Yeah. Now, that can happen, but in your case, since you're getting that regurgitation and you're getting that smell, it's definitely a clog. So since you do have a garbage disposal, I wouldn't suggest you putting any chemicals as far as Drano down there to clear that out. I would have a professional come out as a licensed plumber to take that trap off.
Charlie, hold your point. I'll let you finish on the other side. I've got to take a really, really quick break. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about home weather winterization, making sure your home will survive the cold weather. Give us a call. We're still taking your phone calls at 202-319-7810. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. More of this conversation and help for your home after the break. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are helping you winterize your home to make it comfortable this during this cold weather season, to help you save money on those heating bills. Of course, we have an expert on the line to answer your winter weatherization questions. My guest is home improvement expert Charlie Hawkins. And of course, as I said, we're taking as many calls as we can tonight. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Charlie, I'll finish your thought with Patricia and her clogged sink.
Yeah, so Miss Patricia, 10 times out of 10, you have a clog. It may be in your garbage disposal, but if it's working fine, then it's definitely in your trap. We call those traps that lead any sink drain down to the main drain, which is a very, very large drain. Like 4 inches sounds very small, Miss Patricia, but if you look at it as a cylindrical area, it's very, very large. And it's something in the smaller pipes that's blocking that, and it's pushing it back up. So definitely get you a plumber, or maybe even a DIYer that is familiar with plumbing. And it's very, very simple. It doesn't require a lot of expertise. They're going to take that trap out, and then they can either snake through it or they can just try to clear that out. But most likely that J trap or the P trap, that little curvature, is usually where your problem is.
Okay. Patricia, good luck to you. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Timothy, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Timothy. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine, thanks.
Yes, I have a question for him. I have a, what you call a crawl space, right, that's underneath of my sink, and the furnace is with the hot water. Now, I heard him say cut off the shutoff valve or even the water supply from the outside. Now, can I take some of that insulation that you have, like a wrap that you can get from Home Depot, and put it around the pipes and just, you know, like say like the pipes are like maybe a half inch or three or quarter or 1 1/4 inch, and get that foam insulation and put over the pipes and wrap it with some duct tape? Could I do that? You know, with that, it's called that foam insulation.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Mr. Timothy. It's called foam insulation. Since you live in a city, it's multiple hardware stores. You have Frager's, you have Logan, you have Glover Park. Depending on the city that you're in, they all going to carry pipe insulation. It's really just a styrofoam cylindrical layer that's going to have it's going to have a cylindrical sleeve that's going to have a slit in it, and as long as you know where your pipe is. Now, your water pipes are usually going to be copper, and it's going to be half of an inch. Some older model homes is going to have 3/4 of an inch, but it's usually going to be copper. So what you want to actually insulate is those copper pipes, because that's what your water is running through. If you if you're seeing something that's PVC, that's drainage. Your water is draining out. It's not coming through. So if you're thinking about insulating pipes, you want to identify your copper pipes where the water is coming in from your water heater, and that's what you want to insulate. But you are on the right track. You definitely can get some pipe insulation, and 9 times out of 10, you're going to have a half-inch copper pipe. That's pretty much standard across the United States. You'll get a half of an inch insulation sleeve, and if it's supposed to fit snug because it has like one slit in it so you can slide it over, you can leave it like that, or you can duct tape it just to make sure that it stays closed. That type of water pressure doesn't create too much vibration, so you can definitely just go without the duct tape, but if it makes you feel better, absolutely. We also have other options all across the city in multiple hardware stores. If you feel like a pipe is actually freezing and you're seeing no symptoms, they have plug-in heaters that attach to it that keeps that pipe or in that particular area nice and warm. You can set the temperature to that. But for a very cheaper option, mm-hmm. what you want to do is the opposite, the faucet that's further away from your shutoff valve. So you identify the main shutoff valve. Like if you have a plumbing issue and the plumber comes and shut off all the water in the house, you want to identify where that is. Where that is, you want to go to the opposite side of the house and you want to get that faucet and just run that water. Just run the water. You can do cold, you can do lukewarm, because running water will help your pipes from stop freezing. But you want to start at that end of the house because it will run. And it sounds a little bit backwards, because we're telling you to drain your outside spigots, but those are outside and they're more exposed to elements. But inside the house, where you actually have your heat above 55 degrees in the house on a daily basis, if you have something in the basement, you want to go all the way to the top of your house to just run some water here and there, because water's going to flow through and that's going to stop it from freezing. But Mr. Timothy, you're definitely on the right track. You definitely want to go get some pipe insulation if that's what you're worrying about, especially if you're seeing symptoms of slow water water flow that you think that could be freezing, especially since you have a crawl space. Crawl spaces are usually open. They don't have too much insulation other than the walls, but definitely if you don't have pipe insulation in a crawl space, even year-round, I would suggest pipe insulation in an open space like that, especially towards the elements. It's different between the pipes that's in your house because it's insulation everywhere around that pipe, which keeps it warm. But if you have just exposed pipes running through a crawl space, I definitely would suggest you to get some pipe insulation.
Okay.
And I can do the PVC pipes that way too, insulated? The PVC
PVC pipe, exactly. But like I said, the one you want to really focus on is the copper piping. That's what's going to bring your water in. The PVC is taking your water out. 9 times out of 10, the PVC is very, very thick. Even if it's an inch and a half or an inch and a quarter, that is takes a long time to penetrate that PVC plastic to freeze. You rarely would have a freezing PVC pipe unless it's actually outside exposed to below temperature weather. So you want to focus on your copper piping because that's what's bringing your pipes, your water in.
Okay. Timothy, good luck to you. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So I want to talk about some other insulation issues. You mentioned electrical outlets. How do you insulate those?
Usually you can take just the regular fiberglass insulation that which you would find in your wall. So with usually any house that's under 100 years old, if you cut open a section of the wall, whether you're mounting a TV or whatever, you're going to run into insulation. It's called fiberglass insulation. For one, just to speak on fiberglass insulation, if you do handle it in any type of way, you should wear long sleeves, gloves, because once that gets on your skin, it's very, very hard to get off. But the second thought is you can just take a small roll of fiberglass insulation and you can pack everything. Because once you take that plate, that face plate off is what we would call it.
Right.
And it's a large gap, and you can feel a very dense draft. You can just pack that.
Okay.
Because right? you don't want to do anything too permanent, because you never know when you have to change out that outlet if it goes bad. You know, foam insulation is very great. Do not get me wrong. But at the end of the day, if you foam insulate that and next thing you know, your outlet is out, it's going to be really, really hard to clean all that up just to get the outlet out to switch it out for a brand new one. But foam insulation, they sell it in small rows. They sell it in large rows that actually goes in your walls. You can just pack those up, put your plate back on, and I promise you, you will feel a significant difference.
When you say gloves, what kind of gloves?
Any type of gloves that's available to you. Nothing that's mostly cloth, because fiberglass is not considered cloth, but it can get through those small
like splinters.
Fibers. Absolutely. And believe me, I've done construction and just willy-nilly will have nothing on, short sleeve shirt, and literally until it took me 4 to 5 years after my construction experience to figure out the hack to get your fiberglass out of your body the easiest way. Other than that, I promise you, you will be itching until next week, until your body decides to reject the foreign object.
Okay, that's really good to hear. So one of the other things that, you know, the gentleman who just called before, he was talking about crawl spaces. I have a pull-down attic with stairs, with ladders. And I bought this last year, and I'd like your opinion about it. I think this is probably one of the best things that I've ever done. I bought an insulated zip close padded door cover. So when I pull down my attic door where the ladders are, when I look up now, I see a pewter colored cover, and it's zippers and it's padded. And this was my experience, because I was feeling when I was coming up the steps to the second floor, and I could literally feel the temperature drop like 10 degrees.
Absolutely.
And so when I put that in, and I used an upholsterer's stapler, which isn't that, you know, just those big heavy staples, and I zipped it closed and closed the door, I literally, even before I closed the attic door, I could already feel the heat begin to collect around my head.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how much in the long run that has saved me, but having been in this house for about 20 years or so, I was kicking myself because I wished I had purchased one of those attic door covers before.
No, absolutely. Like, to be honest, you did the best thing that you could do for an attic door. It's virtually impossible to completely seal that just with the door without adding anything extra. And then extra that you have, I promise you, if you were to do the math, saved you a bunch on heating. Because what a lot of people do not know, it doesn't matter where you live, if you have that gap or that access where heat can escape, your furnace is going to work harder and harder, which means your bill is going to go higher and higher. And the reason why, as soon as you close that up, you felt the heat is because, number one, heat rises.
Right.
Yeah, and that's why usually when you have a house or a townhouse, especially in the city or even Maryland, Virginia, your furnace is located in the basement for a reason, or at the lowest point in the house for a reason. Heat is going to rise. The most heat you're going to get is those vents that's coming out on the same floor as that furnace. Then you're going to get the residual heat from that first floor where the furnace is. That's going to come naturally, like through your hallways, through your stairway. But then you also have the vents there that's going to pump out heat. But if you have something at the very top, which is like an attic, which some people use the attic space, and sometimes they insulate it very, very well, and they, you know, may have drywall that some people, and especially in the summertime, it's the main example where heat rises. If you go into your attic in the summertime, I'm sure it's a sauna.
Yeah, it's cooking.
Yeah, regardless if you have your air or not, it's going to hold heat. And that's a good thing because that means that your house is well insulated. But to be honest, that's the best thing that you can do. If you can seal up every single crack, it also reminds me just of like pest control, right? Every time someone comes to me with a pest control issue, the first thing that I tell them before they start to get all the products is find the holes where they're coming into and seal them up.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with cold weather. You're going to find those holes. You're going to fill them up as best as possible. Because the second best thing you could have done other than getting that cover for your attic was to put strip insulation on the actual door. So when it closed, it seals those little tiny cracks. And a lot of people don't realize that the little cracks make a big difference, especially over time.
And that brings me to my next question. So I have, and a lot of people do, I have a large three-panel living room window. And the one in the middle is probably about 40 inches across, and then to the left and to the right, 12 inches. But the other day I was standing by the window during this ridiculously disrespectfully cold weather, and I felt a draft. And I'm assuming that this is coming from where the windows meet the frame. So and it's white. So should I use clear? Should I use white? What should I use to seal that? Because I want that sealing that seal to be permanent.
Absolutely. Have you identified exactly where it's coming from?
I think I have. Yeah.
Okay, so then that's the two differences, right? You can do just a basic weather stripping if it's actually in the window mechanism, but if you're seeing like a crack or something that's a little bit open that's not a part of the window mechanism,
right,
that you can seal up with maybe a caulking or something like that, I definitely would go with the white if you definitely have a white window sill, which most of us usually do. Definitely will seal that up. Unfortunately, the windows that we have in general is meant for a couple of things, is to keep out intruders, is to keep out pests, but unfortunately they're not built to keep out air. If you do get a window company that says I can keep out 100% air in the wintertime, you're going to spend a lot of money because they have a different technology, which it serves its purpose. But if you can identify, and this is for everyone who's listening, if you can identify exactly where that's coming from, then you can make your decision on how you're going to go about it. If it's around the wood framing, cool. You can definitely caulk that up, and as soon as that dry, you can be fine. You're definitely going to feel a difference. If it's actually in the window exactly, I definitely would suggest weather stripping, especially on that. It's something simple, but it's also temporary. You can remove it in the summertime. It's not that aesthetically pleasing, but no one really looks out the window in the middle of a snowstorm. So,
true. Yeah.
So it really depends.
Now, to your point, one of the things that I did get last fall in my basement, I got two new windows that crank out, which is great for security, but they were also double paned, I guess, with argon and the whole bit. And when the weather was cold, and I went downstairs because these windows are brand new. They were installed in October.
Absolutely.
And the thing, and hats off to the guy who did my windows, I put my hand on the glass during one of those really cold days, and I'm in a room that's quite warm. I did not feel a draft. I did not feel the window was cool, but it was not cold.
Oh yeah, definitely. That you can attribute that to the window installers. The thing about installing windows in general is that you're going to have to, they're pretty much working from a large hole in the construction, even if they're replacing windows. So the framing around your window, which usually is wood, will have gaps. Like, it's going to have insulation in it. They're going to try their best, but usually their main job is to just insert the window and make sure that it's functional. So you should definitely thank the guys who installed your window because they took that extra step. They didn't have to do that. You're never going to get that draft from the actual window itself because the window is properly mounted. It definitely is used to, you know, block as much as possible. But they, I feel like they went the extra route and made sure that the framing around it. Usually, if you look at your window, if you have, it's definitely not baseboard, but it's kind of like a trim. If you have a trim around your window, just know if you take that trim off, you're going to feel a draft no matter what time it is because it's an opening. The trim is actually aesthetic. It's not structurally sound.
Well, yeah, but, and we're talking, this was an 85-year-old metal window inside a stone hole. Like I said, my house is old. So he took all of that out.
Yes.
And completely replaced it. So, yeah, again, hats off. I do want to talk about fireplaces for a moment, about fireplace drafts, because, you know, if someone has, let's say, a wood-burning fireplace, for example, we'll start with that. What do you do if you're feeling a draft from your fireplace? Does that mean that you have to replace the flue? And a flue is not a window. Can you just expect that you're going to have some heat loss with a wood-burning fireplace?
Yeah, so the best thing that you can do is change your chimney cap. If you have a very open chimney cap just to keep critters and bugs out, that you're going to have to expect a draft. I actually have an insert fireplace in my home now that is, you know, the house was created in like the 70s or 80s, and we have a regular chute, or an actual cover at the very top of the chimney. Now, you have a chute. Every fireplace, especially wood burning, has a chute that's actually at fire level where you're burning your fire. And you can close that, and that's your best option. If you're still feeling a draft, that's going to be natural. In order to eliminate that, you can get a top for the chimney that also closes. Mm. Right? So you will get somebody that is an expert in chimneys. They will install the top, and you would have a second chute. Because a downdraft is going to happen if you have a regular burning fireplace. With me and what my wife does, we will burn a candle first. Like if we haven't burned our fireplace in a very long time, we'll burn just a random candle, put it in the fireplace, and you will see it flutter because of the winds and the downdraft. Once it's stagnant and it stays lit and it's just pretty much like a regular candle, the flame is not moving, That's when we'll start our fire. Because if you do not and you get that downdraft, expect a ton of smoke, which will go away, but your entire house will smell like burning wood. But the best thing you can do with that is get the different hood on the top of your chimney.
So back that up just a little bit. So you just have a regular, like a cylinder candle, maybe the one that's like 3 or 4 inches across, and you light it, and you just sit it on the wood carrier, the wood holder. You said the draft will go away if the flue is open. So why is that?
So your house is going to push air in directions, right? It's kind of like water. Water always finds its level,
right?
A level surface. It's the same thing with air, right? You're opening your doors back and forth from indoor to outdoor and even inside. The air is going to circulate because you do have a furnace. You do have an AC unit. So the best thing for practice to do if you don't have a candle, if you don't want to go with that method, is before you start a fire, I would suggest to you open up your fireplace and let it sit. You want to have that air find its way out to the nearest exit. And that's where the candle comes into play. If you put if you just open up a fireplace that you haven't opened up in a couple of days, a couple of months, a couple of weeks, you will see how once you light it and you put it inside the fireplace, it's going to flutter. You have downwinds coming from the top of the chimney. You have air that's trying to find its way out from the actual fireplace entrance. which is natural. But once that flame calms down and it's just a regular burning candle, then you know that the air in your house, including whatever is pumping through your furnace, whether it's heat or air, is finding its way out. And that's what will limit your smoke. That's what will limit any type of backfire or downwind.
Hmm, interesting. How long does it take for that to happen?
It usually takes I would give it max 10 minutes. It depends on the outside also. If you have a very windy day, it might take a little minute. But if not, a calm day like today, I would open my chute. I would let it sit for 5 minutes. I'll put the candle in. If it flutters a little bit, I'll leave it for about 2 minutes, and then the flame will be stagnant, and then I'm good to burn a fire. All of that, I know it's not going to come back into my house. It's going to go straight up the chimney.
So
found its way out.
Now, what about gas fireplaces? Again, we are in winter, and if you haven't turned on your gas fireplace since last winter, what should you do before you do that?
If you do have a chute inside of your chimney, you definitely want to open that and let that sit for a while. You just want to have your chimney be familiar with the airflow. The good thing about gas fireplaces is they don't give off smoke, so you don't have to worry about the smoke. Even if you open it directly and turn it on, the worst thing that can happen is that the downwind from your chimney will just blow out your fireplace. The only downside on that is if it's a gas fireplace, the flame might be out, but the gas still might be on it. You do not know about that. So I would suggest, whether it's gas or if it's wood burning, open up your chutes. Give it 10 minutes. 10 minutes minimum. It probably will take less, but 10 minutes minimum to let that airflow just familiarize itself to go out and rather than coming in. But usually you have a better chance of having a good fire with a gas fireplace, because it's no smoke related. Like, it's going to just, you know, light up and it's going to go.
Real quick, is this the time of year? Is winter a good time to paint inside your house?
Today would have been a great day.
Yeah, of course. Today would have been a great day for a whole lot of stuff.
Absolutely. You know, but I would say if you do not mind the cold, then yes, because you do not, like, we fortunately have technological advances that will allow us not to have that many chemicals. And you can actually be in a room now and paint a room and not worry about passing out.
Mm-hmm.
Spring, early spring is the ultimate time, because the weather is cool but a little bit still warm, and you can open up windows to paint and it allows you to dry faster. But what I would say as far as painting, if it's a small room, absolutely. If you don't mind the cold, cool. It doesn't matter, because you can just open up a window. The people who don't like cold, the people who just wants to renovate,
yeah,
I wouldn't suggest it. And even if you get a professional painter, they're going to open up your windows if the quarters are too small, because they don't want to have that chemicals. Even though now our paint has gotten a lot better. It's no lead in it. It's no other chemicals in it. The VOC is what they call it, is very low, so it doesn't really smell like paint. But I would not suggest you paint your small bathroom without opening in a window or having proper ventilation.
Excellent. Any final thoughts when you're thinking about winter weatherization?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the main thing you want to do is if you haven't serviced your furnace in a very long time, I definitely would suggest you to get a professional, because they're going to do some things that we as the DIYers can do, but just leave it to the professionals. But definitely check your furnace filter. Unless you have a very serious allergy that requests you to get a furnace filter that blocks a lot of things, change it once 1 to 3 months. Usually when you get your furnace filter to change, it will tell you the expiration date on it. It says this is a 3-month filter, this is a 1-month filter. But between 1 and 3 months, everybody, regardless if it's winter, summer, spring, or fall, you should change your filters. With that being said, you should definitely get a professional if you think your furnace is having problems, because they go through an entire process. Something that us as regular civilians or DIYers can do, but just leave it to professionals, because it's an entire process. And I promise you, the reason why you're paying that certain amount of money is because they're going to guarantee their service.
Yeah, don't mess with it if you don't know what you're doing.
Absolutely. Especially if you have a gas furnace, it's steps that you will take, and they know exactly how to handle gas. Like, you should always, especially as a civilian, in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, stay away from anything that's gas related. Let the professionals do it. Unless you maybe have a background in gas.
Yeah, I'm not messing with it. Charlie Hawkins, thank you so much. Always good to talk to you again. Happy New Year, and thank you so very much.
All right, not a problem. You take it easy.
All right. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141 for this Friday, January 26, 2024. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins-Wilson, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night and have a safe weekend.